And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Citizen Complaint Authority was created in Cincinnati following the 2001 civil unrest here, which was prompted by the deadly police shooting of a 19-year-old man, Timothy Thomas. Its purpose is to investigate what is referred to as serious interventions by a police officer, such as discharging a firearm or improper entries. And now, with a heavy focus on police practices, the CCA says it's understaffed and underfunded. So joining us to talk about it is Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley. Mayor Cranley, thank you so much for taking some time.
Thank you.
And before we talk about the CCA, we did end up getting some breaking news this morning. And City Manager Patrick Chahaney appears to be headed to Virginia Beach to accept a similar position. We have seen the email chain between you and him. You say that you're heartbroken, that he's been by far the best manager, quote, I've ever worked with. You refer to his, quote, impeccable integrity and constant professionalism. Talk about what Patrick's departure means for the city.
Well, it's a big loss. As you just quoted, he is the best manager I've ever worked with. He is a servant leader, but also someone who, by force of his example and walking the walk, inspires others to follow, but, you know, can show resolve when necessary. And, you know, we've been hit by a trifecta of crises with the pandemic, the racial injustice laid bare, and you know, a biggest deficit in 100 years. And he has led us through all of those crises very well. And he will be a huge loss for the city.
I understand that Patrick Haney will be here, it looks like, till late July.
Yeah, mid-July, it looks like. Yep.
Is that enough time to help you get everything in order to adopt this challenging budget situation that you're going through?
Well, yeah, our budget has to be passed by July 1st, so it was definitely important to me, and I appreciate that Patrick will stay at least through the budget. And you know, obviously, we will make do. We needed him to stay till July 1st, which he's doing, and beyond a little bit. And after that, we will of course, rise to the occasion to deal with the transition.
And we'll note that City Solicitor Paula Boggs-Muthing will serve as acting city manager. Is that correct?
That is correct, and I'm fully confident that she will do a great job.
And then what follows, a national search for the next city manager?
You know, right now, in the middle of the racial injustice pandemic and the budget deficit and having less than 24 hours on this news, I'm not sure yet if that's what will happen. You know, I have 18 months left as mayor in a few weeks, and I'll need to consult with City Council and decide how to handle that later.
And we'll note that the Virginian Pilot is reporting that the new city manager in Virginia Beach, Patrick Chahaney, will oversee a $2 billion budget there. And you will, of course, remember that it was last May where that city saw a deadly mass shooting, 12 people killed at that city's municipal center. And the previous city manager, Dave Hansen, according to the Virginian Pilot, resigned from that position amid criticism of how he handled that. We're joined on Cincinnati Edition now by Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley. And we had previously scheduled you to come on to talk about the Citizen Complaint Authority. So let's talk a little bit about that. You're hearing a lot about the way police behave, the way that citizens see some types of behavior by police, certainly not all police, but there are instances that are being criticized. This was a mechanism that was created the last time the city saw some very serious unrest based on police violence. Do you see the perspective of the current board that it's understaffed and underfunded?
Well, I appoint the board, and it has been operational for 17 years now, and they do great work. And like every department in the city, they always want more money and more staffing. But in light of recent events, there is going to be an increased caseload from the enforcement of curfew, et cetera. And so it seems appropriate that we increase staffing at this time. And so the budget that the manager and I are presenting to council have gotten to the, quote, full funding that we wish in an ideal world where money grew on trees was always the case. Just to understand, you know, it's somewhat a term of art in the sense that technically speaking, we have a law that says we're supposed to have 1,075 police officers, and yet we have about 1,030, roughly. And so, you know, we have what's called full funding models for a variety of departments, and virtually none of them meet those goals. But obviously, given where we are right now, I think it is morally important that we make sure that the staffing is in place at the Citizens Complaint Authority to analyze as quickly as humanly possible and partially and fairly any complaints of abuse.
Mayor, for the sake of our listeners, can you explain the process of the CCA a little bit? What happens when some sort of complaint is filed and how that review process works?
Yes. So the way it works, and it really is unique, and we were the first city in America to adopt a civilian complaint authority with as much power and independent investigatory authority as we do. And let me just let me give for your listeners sort of a background as to why this is a demand in general across the country historically and especially today. But the historical complaint from the civil rights community and from individuals who believe that they have been mistreated by the police is that if they complain, that the police themselves would investigate themselves, and they did not believe, as a general matter, that the police could police itself. That is the general concern that has led to the call for citizen-type review panels. And in addition to that concern about who's policing the police and is it independent, is the issue of timeliness. And so historically in other cities and in many other cities to this day, there are some version of citizen boards that oversee allegations of police misconduct. But they're only allowed to investigate or make determinations or have hearings after internal investigations by police departments. And so what's truly historic about Cincinnati Citizen Complaint Authority is the combination of the two points I just made, that the investigators are independent. They don't work for the police. They work for the city manager and for the city of Cincinnati, but they do not work for the police. And they're separately staffed and independent. But they also have concurrent simultaneous jurisdiction with internal investigations because, of course, the police do believe that they take allegations seriously and do believe and active, and I've seen them on multiple occasions, discipline their own for misconduct. So I'm not necessarily conceding the point that internal investigations are unfair, but nonetheless, I'm proud that we have a separate independent investigatory arm to instill better public confidence in our police department and in our transparency. But that second issue is the concurrent jurisdiction and timeliness with internal investigation so that years don't have to go by before a citizen complaint can bring some transparency to any allegations of misconduct.
And we're talking with Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley. Mayor, with the financial situation that the Citizen Complaint Authority finds itself in, as does the city as a whole, and like you noted, a lot of different departments and agencies that operate under the city's umbrella would like for money to grow on trees, but you are reserved to what access to funding you have. What's the story on how that particular board, the CCA, got into the position in which it finds itself in now? Was there any period of time over the last 17 years where perhaps not enough attention was paid to ensuring that it was a strong board?
Oh, I don't accept the premise. I mean, it is a very strong board. And obviously, even though I appointed them, they have no problem asking me and others to give them more money. And so they are independent, and they take their jobs very seriously. And I know the people that who are appointed, and I know some of the professionals that work in the department itself, and I know they're all very hardworking and take their jobs very seriously. And I think that's always been true.
Well, I guess the question wasn't about the status of the board as much as it was about particularly perception of the board in the hands of various governments in the city over the years.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, my impression is that it's something that we're all very proud of and brag about across the country of having, you know, the most independent and the earliest, strongest citizens complaint authority in the country.
Mayor, in this age in which we find ourselves with, I mean, not just the pandemic, not just the financial constraints that municipal, county, and state governments are finding themselves, what do you see as the role that the CCA can play in working towards a healing, working towards reform of the situation involving police and community relations?
I think it's going to play a vital role, and I think the Citizens Complaint Authority will be critical to Cincinnati getting through all these recent turmoils. But I think it'll ultimately serve as a role model for the country. This is what we have is what other cities want, which is an independent investigatory arm that has concurrent jurisdiction with internal investigations. And third issue is cooperation from police officers who are accused of misconduct. They are required as a condition of employment with the city of Cincinnati to cooperate. And while bringing a citizen's complaint does not preclude bringing a separate lawsuit against the city, once you bring a lawsuit, the city's ability to defend itself can often mean not participating and collaborating with investigations. And so that is extraordinary. It's an extraordinary level of transparency that most cities that are calling out for reform can only dream of. In the last several weeks, you know, I believe, based on my personal observation, that the police department did a phenomenal job. And but obviously, I and others can't be everywhere all the time. And you know, the police department is filled with human beings, and if you know, it is at least conceivable that there were individual cases of misconduct. And what we want is full transparency and to get to the truth of those allegations. And the Citizens Complaint Authority provides a resource to citizens that they don't have to pay for separately, like one would in a lawsuit, to get an investigation and a public airing of these complaints. I'll also say, and this has come up over the years, and I think this may come up in the next couple of months, that there are two additional benefits the Citizens Complaint Authority may serve, and I am hopeful will serve, is that one is that more often than not, the complaints that do go through the Citizens Complaint Authority are not about sort of criminal offenses by the police officers. They are most often about perceived or actual rudeness or a perception of disrespect. And, you know, whether that's true or not is something that in some level will always be believed by the beholder and their own views of what is polite and impolite. And there's certainly the issue that, you know, we've heard about where officers are trained to look out for people who might be up to no good and aren't necessarily engaged in, you know, chit-chat with folks at a protest. And sometimes that can leave the wrong impression, and I don't believe that's intentional. There are also allegations that I've heard, anecdotally, of folks being actually rude. And, you know, those are specific cases that can and should be investigated. Those don't lead to firings. But they do potentially lead to reprimands and they sometimes, you know, more serious offenses or punishments, depending on what it is. But in all cases, you know, we want our officers to be as polite as possible, and we're always open to constructive criticism and improvement, regardless of whether the individual officer suffers any actual punishment for an alleged, you know, disrespect, for example. And I think that can be instructive in a teaching moment for all of us as a department going forward. The second thing that I believe the Citizen Complaint Authority will and I hope it does serve over the next several months is making constructive suggestions on policy change. So it doesn't mean, and just so you know, when a Citizen Complaint Authority finds that an officer did something wrong, that recommendation goes to the city manager for final disposition. And the city manager still has the independent authority to agree or disagree with the recommendation. But the recommendation itself is not kept buried. It is public. And so if the manager is going to disregard the recommendation, he or she would have to essentially take the public heat for that, one way or the other. But I think what we're going to find, and I think I think this is difficult for all of us. It's natural to be defensive, but I think we're going to find that there are some constructive suggestions about how we impose the curfew. That maybe not as a criticism of what happened at the moment, but as how we can do it better the next time, if ever. Hopefully it won't, but it probably will be necessary. Not me, hopefully, but from future mayor and future city to impose those kinds of massive curfews, which are complicated. And I'm hoping that we will, with a open-mindedness and open heart, be open to suggestions on how to do some of that differently. And maybe we don't need to do it even differently, but I think having that conversation and airing out and the anecdotes that come out of the specific citizen complaint authority cases might lead to some suggestions about, you know, when and how to use gas and when and how to use tasers and when and how to deal with this or that. And I think I'm not saying that someone who's complaining is right or wrong. I'm just saying we should be open-minded to hearing them out and doing, you know, a post-mortem analysis of how we could do those things better.
Mayor, I know we're short on time, but just quickly before we let you go back to your work, you have some hearings scheduled with the public this week, starting this evening from 6 p.m. to midnight, then again Thursday from 4 to midnight, and then Friday from noon to midnight. As it relates to the budget, we expect a lot of comments about police funding. We're hearing the term defund the police and then a lot of responses on what exactly that means. What do you expect here, and then what type of action as it relates to the city budget and police do you expect to see in the final budget?
Well, I definitely do not support the defund the police idea. If anything, we're going to need to put more resources into policing in order to continually improve our training, implicit bias training among others, and invest in technology like body-worn cameras. We had body-worn cameras most of the time, but during the riot, it didn't fit on the riot gear. And so can and should we invest the money to make sure that it would be there the next time there is a curfew or something like that? You know, those are fair, legitimate questions, but they're not cheap if we say the answer is yes. I also believe that, in my opinion, which, you know, others may not agree with, when you – and I've had many meetings already, including a meeting yesterday with several dozen faith leaders around this issue of defund the police. And most of the people did not continue to support the defund the police once they realized that would mean layoffs of officers. They did want to see an increase in investment in social services, mental health, addiction services, job training, before hiring more cops or new cops. And in fact, our budget does not hire additional cops. We pushed off the recruit class. But I strongly oppose laying off officers at this time, and candidly, the vast majority of the people I met with also oppose the layoffs of officers. I do have said publicly a number of times that I'd like to see the federal government and the state government refund, if you will, instead of defund, I think refund an investment into social services, health care, public health care, African-American outreach and small business and opportunity and education, transportation, and help close some of the racial disparities that have been laid bare for this country in the last couple of weeks. They were there before, but they have obviously come to new urgency of attention because of the events of the last several weeks. And I do believe that that is part of the long-term solution here, which is to not have the police officers answer every, you know, dispute that a police officer isn't necessary for, in order to get more. Just like now, when you call 911 for a fire, we deploy the fire, not the police. And I do hope and believe that over time, when incidences rise to a level of expertise that someone might have as a social worker instead of an officer, that we can deploy them. But that takes money, and unlike the federal government, who can print money and has a 35% tax rate on income, and the state, who has roughly, I think, a 5% income tax, we're very limited in what we can do. Having said that, it is also true that When I became mayor, we invested $1.5 million in human services, and now we invest over $6 million. So we've increased the funding for those kinds of social services four times. And while the police budget has gone up, it has not gone up four times what it was when I got here. And so we are investing in these more comprehensive, holistic approaches at a greater percent increase annually, even in the midst of the worst budget in 100 years, then we increase the police. But we are also increasing the police, and I also believe that's appropriate.
Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And our Jay Hanselman will be covering those budget hearings at the Duke Energy Center. They start today at 6, and then they'll start again on Thursday from 4 to midnight, and then on Friday from 6 to midnight. You can listen to his coverage on 91.7 or stream it and read it at WVXU.org. Time for a quick phone call now. Joining us now is Iris Rowley, a local activist. Iris, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, and I'm not just a local activist. I'm a taxpayer, I'm a business owner, and a lifelong resident of the city of Cincinnati. I think that activism gets a tough kick around when you just say that, so I want to be clear and explicit about who I am. I was kind of saddened by the conversation that was just held by you and the mayor. It seems like he's slightly out of touch about really what the Citizens Complaint Authority does. Let me just say this to you, that on January 13, 2020, the community representatives, as I am one of them that sits on the manager's advisory group, sent a letter to the mayor, the vice mayor, all of the city council, including the city manager and Ms. Kim Neal, asking for full funding of 5 investigators at the Citizens Complaint Authority. Here's where I'm not so happy with the mayor's response. It's the reason why you need the full 5 investigators. There's not just 4 complaints, but in the statute as it is written, they are to do additional things that could help citizens and police. And one of those was policy recommendation, as the mayor alluded to, but they've been ignored. And even though the CCA has been understaffed, it has nonetheless made numerous recommendations to the Cincinnati Police Department on individuals and procedures that are based on the various case investigations that do not get completed. And unfortunately, the police department rarely reports back and rarely enters into any dialogue regarding the recommendations. You could see that on the 2018 Citizens Complaint Authority annual report. The first reason why we need to have the full complement is to make sure that the complaints are addressed in a timely fashion as laid out in the statute, which is 90 days. But they've been delayed, and not just because of short staff, but because police have gotten in the way. Policy review, the mayor did mention that. They're doing that, but nobody's paying them any attention. The third thing, which is really critical, and which rose to a great level of concern out of the reports that we got from Soil Green, that we paid $350,000 to do an assessment on this process in 2017, which is the data analysis. CCA is the home for traffic and pedestrian stop analysis and other racial disparity reviews for the community. This is why we have the collaborative. We filed in federal court on behalf of Black people in the city of Cincinnati who live and walk on the streets of thoroughfares. The fourth thing that I mentioned to you was the recommendations. And as I said, you can go to the 2018 annual report and look at the last set of reviews, and I can send that to you if you like. The fifth reason why it's important that there are 5 investigators there is the employee tracking system. CCA needs to be all over this. This was another core commitment to the collaborative and the refresh. Yet CCA and the community has yet to see data fields which will be used in this new system. The mayor didn't talk about that. I'm not so certain that he knows. The sixth thing is that record management, RMS, and the electric contact cards. Now, we started back in 2001 with paper. Now they're electronic. We've been told for more than a year that CPD will be implementing a new RMS, and then piloting in a new electronic contact card that will replace the paper contact card. And this is great, but we've seen nothing to date. As part of the policy work, CCA should be involved in reviewing and evaluating these systems before they are set in stone. This is what full staffing will give CCA capacity to do. The last thing, and this is written in the statute, June, this was our hope, is that we bring mediation back. So several of us questioned the efficacy of the Citizens Complaint Authority review panel, right? The mediation process formally performed internally by, performed internally by CPD. Many citizens did not participate since they find themselves in a room along with officers and supervisor, and it feels intimidating. We believe that the CCA should evaluate the CCRP as part of its policy work and also continue to adapt some of its own cases for mediation where appropriate. The last thing I want to say when the mayor talked about the complaints, well, we did get an officer fired through CCA investigation, and that was the officer that tased State Senator Cecil Thomas's daughter. He had done it once before, and since that lady had filed a complaint, and it was already on the books, when he tased Cecil Thomas's daughter, she filed a complaint. We found that he had violated the policy and procedure, and he was terminated. So these are criminal offenses, and we should not shorten them as the way that he just did on this radio station. This agreement came out of the death of 15 unarmed black men. We tried to stop it. We have since had 18. This city isn't perfect. This isn't the perfect place to be black in America and deal with police. But we do have a process that gives us the opportunity to get better. But we've not gotten there. Iris Rowley sits on the MAG, has sat on the MAG since it was created in 2008. Our role was to take the role of the monitors group. We've not been able to do that. We've not been able to do that in almost a year now. So to hear these decisions being made, this conversation, and being politicized, this is why we need a city manager, because all of this was supposed to lay in that office, not in the mayor's office, where it can be politicized and one side has a greater vision than the other. And so to downplay the Citizens Complaint Authority, even though you say you're going to add more money, which isn't enough, it only gets it to bare bones, and it will create more of a problem. If the mayor was serious, the Citizens Complaint Authority would be funded to the tune of $1.2 or $3 million. So it would have the money to buy papers and pencils, because we had to provide them with pens at one time. Al Gerhardstein, our attorney, had to give them pens to be able to do their work. They will be able to do the transcript transposing. When they go out and take complaints, they use recorders. Somebody has to do that. When you only give them bare bones, they can't do their job efficiently. And the last thing is written in the statute. And the reason that I know these things is because black life matters and it values to me. That's why we went to federal court, is that they are supposed to do the education. They can't do that if they don't have a budget to print, to reproduce materials. They don't have the budget to do that. So what the mayor is suggesting to you today is insufficient. It is another insufficient check where we will only get the bare bones. We won't see the work that needs to be done. The process won't be in place where the citizens can feel as though their government works for them. And I'll be happy to come in the studio and talk further if you allow us.
We would absolutely enjoy picking up this conversation, Ms. Rowley. And in the next segment, we are talking to a couple members of the current makeup of the CCA. And we will note we did have you scheduled to come on earlier this month, and we weren't, for whatever reason, able to connect with you on that day.
Absolutely.
But we will look forward to talking to you more. I really appreciate you calling and offering that perspective.
I appreciate you. But I do appreciate people who wrote this, who've been in the game, who've invested over 20 years, should be able to speak about the truth of the text of the language on those papers and not some aspirational goal that some politician may have because they want to go someplace else. Thank you. This is about saving black lives. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for the call. Iris Rowley, local taxpayer and business owner. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Citizen Complaint Authority is charged with investigating allegations of abuse or misconduct by police officers, but board members have argued it's underfunded and understaffed. And we continue our conversation now with CCA Board Chairman Mark Childers. Mark, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
We also have Desiree Bennett, who is a member of the board. Desiree, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Cincinnati City Councilman P.G. Sittenfeld is here as well. Councilman, thank you for joining us.
Michael, glad to be with you. And because we have so little time left for this segment, I would honestly be happy to cede my portion of it to our two wonderful board members who are doing great work at CCA. And I'm happy to rejoin you any other time to talk a variety of city issues.
Well, thank you for that. And now we have less time, PG, so thank you. We appreciate you joining us nonetheless. Mark, I will start with you. Give us the perspective of what you see the CCA facing right now as more of these folks possibly express some disappointment or some serious complaints about the way the police have handled recent events.
Well, I'm happy that the CCA exists, number one. And I'm happy to hear that from the mayor that he's included us in his budget. I know that Councilman Landsman and Sittenfeld have both included us in their budget, and I think Councilwoman Sunderman has, from what I understand. So we're happy to get those resources, and we're happy to figure out how to deploy those resources the best we can. As far as recent events, we have about 10 cases that we're going to investigate regarding, there were 8 that came out of the protest, and there were 2 that came out of curfew violations. And again, we will not investigate those for some time just because we're still behind many cases.
And let's bring in CCA board member Desiree Bennett as well. Do you see things the same way as your colleague there on the board?
I do. I agree with Mark. You know, I'm really happy that CCA does exist, but like Mark, I also believe that it is really important to have it fully funded, have the full 5 investigators so that they can, you know, do their job and so that the citizens of Cincinnati can be served.
Mark, what is the danger of the situation here? I mean, we've got a backlog of cases, basically. What is the danger to what had been established 17 years ago?
Well, I think the legitimacy of the group is in danger in the sense that, you file a complaint and you may not hear about it for a year. And that doesn't do the person who complains any justice. And it doesn't do the police officer who is involved any justice to have an accusation sitting out there for a year or more. So I think that's where we really, need to gain our traction and to get back to being, a legitimate investigative body that is up to date with the complaints that are coming in.
Can you give us an example of a case that might have taken that long? I mean, how serious were the charges in that situation?
So, yeah, I will give you a case. This is from the 2018 annual report. So that came out about this time last year. We just came out with the 2019 report. So this case came out, and we heard it in 2018. The incident date was April 1st, 2017. And this was a case that had the use of force as a complaint. And it's one that we made a recommendation on that we would encourage the Cincinnati Police Department to reenact the use of force board. So that case happened April, the incident happened April 1st, 2017. It's in our 2018 report. So it was at least 9 months old if we heard it, and it could have been all the way till the end of the year. In 2018.
Councilman P.G. Sittenfeld is also with us. Councilman, when you're hearing these concerns expressed by members of the CCA, what is your response?
They're absolutely right. This is not a time for making excuses. Obviously, past budgets have had finite resources that have, obviously CCA has been partially funded, but it needs to be fully funded. And we're here now. It's always the right time to do the right thing. As Board Chair Childers said, myself, Councilmember Landsman, I think some other colleagues have put forward making sure that it's fully funded, all of the investigators. It also needs a new director, obviously, and I'm glad to be able to say that some truly luminary people have expressed to me that they are putting their name in the hat. So I'm hopeful there. But look, we're at a time when, as we've seen with past horrific incidents like the Fountain Square shooting, we need police officers, but we also need them to be good police officers, accountable police officers. And this is a key mechanism coming out of the legacy of 2001 and the collaborative agreement to really, as much as anything else, build trust. Let people know that there is a mechanism there that you can hold people accountable whether they are a police officer or not, when misconduct or excessive use of force might take place.
And we're talking now with two members of the Citizen Complaint Authority at the City of Cincinnati, Mark Childers and Desiree Bennett, and Cincinnati City Councilman P.G. Sittenfeld. Desiree, let me throw it back over to you. What are we learning amid current events and some of the unrest that has transpired, some of the arrests that have taken place, and some of the accusations even against the law enforcement community currently as it relates to the purpose of the CCA? Is there something that you see the city learning from this moment in time that can be applied to even improve the work that the CCA will do?
Well, as Mark mentioned, we've got like 10 new cases in the past week or so from the protests and from, curfew violations. And it's really important for community members to, who feel like they've either been a victim of or witnessed misconduct by a police officer, to know that that's going to be fully investigated. And I think the city is learning with this light being shined on the CCA that it's really important that not only is there an executive director appointed, but also for it to be fully funded so that the investigators can fully do their job.
And Mark, beyond just the individual cases that come in, the work that the CCA does that involve evaluating any type of systemic patterns that emerge in the allegations that are brought for your consideration? And if so, what happens after that identification?
Well, I think that is the heart and soul of the CCA's mission, and it's in Section 4 of Article 28, which created us. And it reads in part, the CCA will examine complaint patterns that might provide opportunities for the Cincinnati Police Department and community to reduce complaints. Following the identification of such patterns, the Cincinnati Police Department and CCA jointly will undertake a problem-solving project to determine the reasons for the pattern and whether there are opportunities to eliminate or reduce root causes. So I think that's so much of our work that we're unable to do. And if we can't get through our cases, we don't have the data to determine what the patterns might be and what the issues might be. And so we don't have the employees to get this done. But secondly, we don't have the information we need to discuss with the Cincinnati police what those things are that we could do to eliminate some of the root causes of the complaints.
Well, Mark, you mentioned moments ago about the recommendation you made about having the Cincinnati Police Department re-implement an I don't know what you've called it exactly, but the Excessive Force Review Board. Did that happen?
I'm going to say no. To my knowledge, it has not happened. Of course, we've not had a meeting since coronavirus has put everybody on lockdown. So we haven't had a meeting since March, but I have not heard that that use of force board has been reconstituted.
And we'll be talking with Cincinnati Police Chief Elliot Isaac and Cincinnati FOP President Dan Hills in our next segment. So we'll be sure to follow up on that. Councilman Sittenfeld, budget hearings begin today for the public, and they continue Thursday and Friday. Some very long hours scheduled to make sure that the hundreds of people who have signed up to speak get their opportunity to do so. It is anticipated that a lot of questions are going to be asked about funding for the police department. There is an expression now, to fund the police, and that has a variety of different definitions based on who you ask. So let me ask you, as you start to listen to the public and shaping the next fiscal year's budget, what is your position on that, and how do you see the city moving forward with the way that it allocates funding for crime and safety?
Yeah, so, I mean, as you said, my first objective is to listen. I think we're going to have probably record turnout, record participation in these public budget hearings, and I've also listened to and met with hundreds of people, both by attending the protests, by meeting with all sorts of leaders following the murder of George Floyd. So, look, I think that what is my own personal belief, and what I'm also feel like is been affirmed by the community, is that we need. It's also about the things that we need to get a lot more money into, right? Affordable housing, education, healthcare, social services. The things that, can put people on a pathway to opportunity and prevent crime from happening in the first place. As I said before, you know, we need police officers. We need to make sure that they are good, accountable police officers. That's why I think investing in something like the CCA is absolutely paramount. But I also think what people are looking for, and we got a pretty deep dive sort of glimpse into the budget just yesterday, is does the totality of the city budget reflect balance? And I would say that right now, if you look at a city budget that is two-thirds public safety and one-third everything else, all including all the things I just mentioned, housing, healthcare, social services, that doesn't feel balanced to me. And I think we as a council need to listen in this moment. And then I think we need to set about a pathway. And look, city government, we're a cruise liner. We don't sort of turn on a dime. But I do think we need to have serious community-wide inclusive conversations about how we bring more balance so that the next dollars in, it's not just, you know, being reactive in the form of, you know, sort of sworn public safety, but it's also, let's say, let's be preventative. Let's be uplifting by investing in the things that I've talked about. So I'm hopeful that we can forge common ground with the community and kind of create that more holistic balance for a city budget.
P.G. Sittenfeld is a Cincinnati City Councilman, and Mark Childers and Desiree Bennett are members of the Cincinnati Citizens Complaint Authority. Thanks to all three of you for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue our look now at the Citizens Complaint Authority and law enforcement in Cincinnati. And we're joined now by Cincinnati Police Chief Elliot Isaac. Chief Isaac, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we also have Cincinnati Fraternal Order of Police President Sergeant Dan Hills. Sergeant Hills, thank you for being with us as well.
My pleasure as well.
And I do apologize to both of you for running out of time, basically. We did go a little long with the breaking news about the city manager at the top and then the unexpected guest added in the middle of the show. But let's get moving and spend these 7 minutes we have together as best we can. Chief, let's start with you. And just I want to open up with a general question about law enforcement. This is a tough time for communities of all stripes. And a very challenging position for law enforcement to be in because it's requiring a lot of reflection and reform. And I'm just wondering what your state of mind is right now. You've been in law enforcement for 3 decades. What does this moment mean to you as a longtime law enforcement leader?
I think this is very clearly a pivotal point in law enforcement. I think that there are a lot of voices that want to see change. They want to see reform. I think here in Cincinnati, we have a very solid platform to build upon. I can't say that everything is perfect, but I think we've been at this work for a very long time. A lot of our citizens, a lot of our officers have spent a lot of time in trying to make this one of the best police departments in the country. And I think we have a very solid foundation to build upon.
Sergeant Hills, you're president of the union representing the police officers here in Cincinnati. I want to ask you sort of the same question. Do you see an opportunity for law enforcement to further reflect on its role and to be open to potential reforms based on what has happened in recent months?
I think it's one of these times where we say that, hey, we've already been there and we've already done a whole ton of reform. And I think this is one of those times when we should really hold up what we have done and say, you know, I know you want us to continue to reform and change, and we've already taken on that mindset that we're always going to work at getting better. But what we've already done here can serve as a role model for other cities and agencies around the country. So I don't think it's as much of a time for Cincinnati to reform, but as Cincinnati to shine and show off who we are and what we've done.
Chief Isaac, we were talking for most of the hour about the Citizen Complaint Authority and the issues that it sees itself facing. One question that arose was how long it takes for some of these complaints to be processed. And Mark Childers, the chairman of that board, suggested that when it takes a year, as it has for some recent cases, that delays justice for both the complainant and the officer who faces an allegation. And one such instant, he said, prompted a recommendation of the police department to re-implement what was referred to as the excessive force review board or some sort that would be within the department. Can you tell me whether that recommendation was followed through upon?
Well, first let me say, you know, I've always supported the CCA. I support their full staffing. I think it's important I think it's important to the citizens that they see a parallel, independent entity that can conduct investigations in for law enforcement. I think that by and large, when we do parallel investigations, the vast majority of the time, we come to the same findings. I think it really supports the work that our men and women do. What he was referring to was the Use of Force Review Board, and that was one of the things that did come out of the collaborative agreement when we look at use of force. And it's something that the department has not done a lot of the time, but in the past year, I believe we've done it a time or two as well. We have done it a time or two, and particularly when we have a use of force case that that is very complex, that there's some dynamics to it, that the existing case law as well as the existing tactics, something that we need to pull a group of our command staff together to look at all the nuances of it to make sure that we're training correctly and that we're coming to the right findings when we make determinations about appropriate use of force.
And FOP President Dan Hills, I want to make sure that I ask about this as well, because many of the protests that have emerged across the country are related to the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, but also Breonna Taylor in Louisville. And Breonna Taylor's death in particular has raised questions about what is referred to as a no-knock warrant. We saw that Cincinnati City Councilman Chris Silbach has proposed that Cincinnati follow Louisville's lead and ban such a method. You're opposed to that. Can you explain why?
Well, I can tell you why. One of these times, you never want to say never. There could be an occasion where it could make a huge difference in officer safety. And first, you have to know that we very, very rarely ever go about a no-knock search warrant. The early answers I got from SWAT personnel, and I know they're working a little bit more on some stats and stuff for me, and I'm sure the chief would want to know them too, but we average one a year or less. But if you have that nightmare scenario, some sort of terrorist, iron horseman, you name it, that you think is somewhere, and all the intelligence says they want to shoot it out to the death with the police officers. They have the means to do so, but you were able to get them at a certain time. Intelligence tells you that they're sleeping. So what is being suggested is, in this very rare occasion, that we knock on the door and have a long standoff and cop shot it when we could have easily used some of the SWAT's tactics to make a very quick entry without announcement and have people arrested without greater incident. If we were abusing the no-knock search warrant, if judges who oversee this were allowing us to abuse it, the state, the government was abusing it, that would be an issue. But when you do one or less in a city the size of Cincinnati, that's kind of evidence all by itself that we understand that's not in the normal way that we would do things and give notice to our citizens. And let's remember what happened in Louisville. There was somebody shooting at the police. Somebody was creating the danger as well. And I know, you know, what his statements were, that he's saying he didn't believe it was the police. I don't know for sure if he's believable.
Well, so we'll have to leave it there. We've run out of time, unfortunately, but Chief Isaac and Sergeant Hills, I really hope both of you will come back on again soon so that we can have a longer conversation.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thanks to both of you for joining
you
us.
Well. Right.
Appreciate it very much. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of our show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. Archives online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.